On the show today, we have SRM's very own Michael Carter talking about their latest survey where they're capturing responses from financial institutions and consumer payment patterns in this prolonged pandemic environment. Really fascinating conversation here with Michael, so check it out. Hey, before we get on with today's episode, I want to let you know about Q Mutual Group's upcoming 2020 Discovery Conference coming up actually on August 13th. This free online conference is designed to help boost your strategic planning with timely information, innovative ideas, and key insights. So don't miss this opportunity to attend. Click on the banner below the show notes to register, and I'll see you there. Now on with the show. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CE Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Michael Carter from SRM. Michael, how are you doing, sir?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. And the summer's going well, I assume, in your neck of the woods?
I'm having a summer like everybody else is. Ours might be a little hotter down here in Memphis, but it probably looks the same as your summer in many
ways. Pretty much. It's sunshine and all that other good stuff out there. So we're doing the best we can. Hey, you guys are also doing some really cool stuff at SRM. You know, you guys just do great work there. But you also do these surveys from time to time. And this latest one really caught my eye. And it has to do with capturing financial institution responses and consumer payment patterns in this prolonged pandemic environment that we're in right now. So can you give us kind of a lay of the land before we get into a couple of the details here?
Yeah, so we did one back in the middle of March, right when things were starting to get different. And then we just wanted to understand how banks and credit unions had reacted. You know, were they working people remotely? How were the customers and members reacting to closed branches, that sort of thing? And so this time we wanted to take a measure more of time has passed now. You know, what are you seeing as trends that will likely impact your future beyond the normal economic things like low interest rates and that sort of thing. So it was same group. We had a larger response the second time, which was interesting to us. Slightly more, well, I'd say 60-40 credit unions to banks. Okay. Last time it was more 50-50. But you know, banks, they like to hold things really close to their
yes,
chest.
They do.
So credit unions like to, they're friendly and they like, to talk. Yeah. And which is great. So about the same, mix, like I said, a little bit more credit unions this time. We asked specific questions around digital, because obviously with, you know, with branches closed and very little open to members other than a call center, a drive-through, and, you know, remote type operations, we wanted to find out how that was going. And then we wanted to find out what they were seeing in payments, because obviously the delivery economy, like digital, has gotten a real exponential boost, right? I mean, we were moving that way before, certainly, and I've been a Prime member for I don't know how long.
Yeah, me too.
But never ordered my groceries, I'll never go to a grocery store again.
Yeah,
ever.
We got another delivery this morning.
You have a lot of kids, so you got to feed them.
Well, so but I mean, it's like every day is your birthday here. It's like, oh hey, new stuff at the doorstep in the morning, yay!
Yeah, and I've never heard anybody say they like to go to the grocery. There's been some. So we wanted to see that how that was reflected, and then we wanted to see what their, you know, mental outlook was for recovery and the length of the recovery. And all those things, you know, yielded some pretty interesting results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was one of the things that I found, because I had the press release right over here on my other monitor there. And I want to start with like what people were expecting, how long this was going to take. And I think the initial one was, 18 to 24 months range, or 12 to 18? What did you guys find?
The first one, the first survey, it was 12 to 18 months.
Okay, that's right. I reversed them.
And we had a bunch that were, you know, oh, it'll be over in 6 months. I think because people really thought this was going to be quick and we would have that V-shaped, you know, recovery thing, which in my lifetime, I've never seen a V-shaped recovery. So, and now it's much more an L-shaped recovery. And so, so they changed. They were more in the 18 to 24 months time to get through this, and what was interesting was they were even more conservative about their communities. So they had their communities, as I recall, the length of time for communities to recover was longer than for banks. I want to say 24 to 36 months or something like that. So they saw the ripple on effect of, you know, the recovery of the community coming after their institutions. And I the way I explain that is I think they're taking steps now. Communities are very, it's not that a credit union isn't a complex thing, but a community is far more complex. So there's a lot of moving parts, and credit union leadership now is taking, you know, the steps they need to take to weather this thing. And it's harder to do in a community. There's too many factors, like, are they going to get their unemployment, you know, boost? Are they going to get forgiveness for utilities longer? You can't predict all that within a community. So I think that's where that came from. They just understand that the community is a far more complex thing. And overall, we felt like what we heard combined was that the institutions are, you know, they have been, you know, taking the actions they need to take. And I think the proof in the pudding now will be going forward, because as we settle in, I've heard people say the new normal, the now normal, the next normal. And I cringe when I hear all those, because to me, none of this is normal. This is just a normal.
Not even close.
So, right. So we're going to be in this completely not normal thing.
Oh, yeah.
For a while now.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see as we ride this sort of economic roller coaster up and down, how credit unions react to the things they now say they need to do, right, in order to position themselves for what changes, dramatic changes, have happened to the members' mindset and their habits.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's talk digital here for a second, because obviously we all saw that happening from the outset. I mean, everyone, like you said at the beginning, is like, yeah, everyone was moving toward digital. It was kind of a casual pace, you know. All of a sudden this thing hits and it's like, oh my gosh, we're all putting our track shoes on and we're all using Bolt, and we're bolting toward the digital. So that's what you guys found in the survey, right?
Yeah, I mean, the sheer number of increases in digital users were really interesting to us. It was the majority said 10 to 25%. But what was really interesting was there was a significant number, a material number, that we're seeing 20 to 25% and higher increases in digital, sustained increases.
Yeah.
I had some anecdotal conversations with folk I know in both banks and credit unions, and their comment was, and you saw this in the first survey, they were actually training people who had never used digital to use it, right? And they were finding that, contrary to all the demographic studies that say, you know, people who are older and aren't used to it or whatever, they found that they were really open to learning it.
Oh,
and one guy said to me, I don't think they're going to, you know, be rushing back to the branch if they can do it all remotely, because, well, there are a couple reasons. One, convenience, right? It's kind of like the grocery store story. Yeah. But two, there's going to be an overriding concern by people for years about their own personal health for years. I mean, nobody's going to forget this virus when, you know, pray God one day we have a vaccine for it and we can beat it back into a really bad flu. But nobody's going to forget.
Nope.
And there's no reason to believe there won't be other things come up that concern us. So people are going to, I think we won't become, you know, hermits, but we are going to be very careful about where we go, what we do, and how we spend that time of risking being with other people, which will be more with the people we love
and more
with the people that we care about and the coworkers and other things. It won't be to go down to the credit union.
Right.
When I can pick up the phone or.
Yeah. Which translates into more digital usage, not only at your financial institution, but in pretty much anything these days, you know, especially like Amazon and iTunes and all that type of stuff. So yeah. So, and Netflix.
We've been remote since the middle of March, and I don't think our CEO was particularly a fan of the idea. He's a guy, he's younger than I am, but I think he's a very social guy. He likes the contact and
I do too.
To see people, you know, I get that. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, he told me one day when we were talking, he said, I am convinced we're getting more work done than when we were all together. He said, it's like, we haven't missed a beat.
Right.
And I have a little tracker on my computer that tells me how much collaboration time I spend.
Yeah.
It's gone through the roof. I'm actually collaborating more with colleagues via Teams and Zoom than I was when they were in the office.
Isn't that amazing?
Because, there's a number of things here where you just think, and you know, why does anybody want to pay for commercial space? They can run a business. I mean, and that psyche about health will play a part in that. People mm-hmm. will, you know, people wanted to work remotely before. Now they're going to feel almost a need to mm-hmm. if they can.
Agreed. How about the credit card activity? Because there's a very interesting finding there. You want to reveal the findings on that
one? I think in some ways, if you thought about it, you would have said, yeah, that's going to be obvious. We saw before in the collapse in 08, credit cards activity went down and debit card activity went up some.
Yeah.
Not a lot, because that was an economic crisis, right? Caused by economic forces. This is an economic crisis caused by a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction by the government's been completely different, as it, you know, as it should be. So you saw a drop in credit card usage and a tremendous climb in debit card usage. And you saw the actual balances. This was not part of our survey. It was information I picked up on the side, but you saw the balances people were holding on their credit cards going down. So they're preparing for this protracted time of financial uncertainty. So, and then the other parts were, and these were figures that exceeded 70%. 70% plus reported increases in card not present transactions and mobile device transactions. So, and some of that's overlap, right? I mean, some card not present takes place on obviously through a mobile device, but mm-hmm. but that is going to stick around just like the digital thing is.
I think
like
so too.
We were just saying, what? I mean, if I can order my groceries, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to go out and get them. And so we will see a change in our economy that will it'll cement the use of e-commerce and the devices that we use. I even believe that it may hasten that, and this is not in the survey, it may hasten the demise of the smartphone, if you want to know the truth.
Really?
Because
wow.
I think, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm surrounded here by 5 voice assistants, right? Not right in this room, but all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to have to go find my phone right now is a real nuisance. I mean, do you know when I know where my phone is when I'm at the office? I have no idea where my phone is. You know, so I let the dogs out. I leave it on the table outside. I get out of the car. I leave it in the car. I believe that over time, people will want more than they ever had to be able to say, Alexa, you know, read me my last 5 transactions and pay my bill to Memphis Gas, Light, and Water.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's actually going to hasten that. And when I've talked to banks and credit unions about the digital side, I said, you really have to think about this as digital transformation, not just upping your game in mm-hmm. digital banking.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's possible. It should not be a scary thing.
I could see that. Completely see that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just on Alexa this morning I was with the girls and we were playing Feel the Pressure, that trivia game or whatever on Alexa. We were just this morning and we were having a
blast. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I use Lex all the time when I'm cooking, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to set a timer. I mean, it sounds spoiled, right? But why would you do it if you don't have to?
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
it's that easy now. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. I don't understand most of the buttons on the microwave, and anyway, and on the oven, I certainly don't. So you know, Alexa is just a whole lot better. So I think it'll actually hasten that, and I think that's good, particularly for community size credit unions, because mm-hmm. like you and I have talked about before. This technology presents a medium or a media that does not require you issuing an app every 6 months. And that's a huge expense mm-hmm. that community sized credit unions have trouble keeping up with the larger ones and the larger banks.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be some interesting things come out of this. But you know, card not present, that is the future.
Yep,
for as long as we in the delivery economy, which was, you know, nibbling away at brick and mortar, when this fog lifts, you know, I don't see, sadly, a lot of brick and mortar mom and pop merchandising things left. Now, I think we'll still go eat and we'll still go have our cocktails, but it's going to be really hard to get people to go out and shop. So
exactly. Well, what surprised you most in this survey? Was there anything that really made your eyebrows go, oh my gosh, wow, didn't see that one coming?
I think that there were two things, and I think I know why. I don't mean this as a negative, but it was very low down on the list. Focus on automation,
on
branch footprint, and it's exactly opposite to the conversations I've had with execs. I mean, they absolutely are going, I don't know why I need these branches. They're really expensive, and the members, they aren't going to rush back to these. So how do I use my physical footprint? And then automation. I mean, I just got off the phone with an exec, and he was talking about how they have to get the back office running, as crisp and as lean as possible. And everybody knows the back office of any institution, credit union or banks, is typically full of very, very poorly designed processes. A lot driven by the technology and something, and the vendors that are involved. Mm-hmm. All that can be cleaned up, and it's going to have to be, because you can't make as much money if the interest rates are compressed, and they're going to be for a while.
Yeah.
You might get, if you're under $10 billion, you may be able to make up on the interchange side a little with those card not present, much more lucrative. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to find savings. And the reason I think that hasn't gotten any further is because the leadership is studying those options. Because deciding your branch footprint and deciding what you want to automate and how you want to change your, those are not minor deals.
Nope.
I mean, knowing that we are going to have more card not present, and knowing you're going to, those are known, we're in those areas, digital, we know what we're doing there. This area is something that is much more complex than even, doing a digital transformation. Mm-hmm. So I think they're rightly being cautious, and they're studying their options. They know this is going to last for a while. And they know that tomorrow they aren't going to be able to do all the things they may think they need to do with branch and back office. Mm-hmm. So I think it just fell down the list because their eyes are popping out over this digital thing and over the delivery economy. And just a lot of them are doing a whole lot in their communities too. I mean, the stories I got anecdotally of what credit unions were doing in their communities to help members, it was very, very heartening. So
yes,
they've been busy. I mean, they've been, they've got a lot going on, but I think the other requires study. That was probably my biggest surprise. But after I thought about it, I thought, of course, you don't do that, willy nilly.
Yeah. And is now the time to do that? I mean, or at least plan to do that type of stuff? Cause I mean, we're still in the throes of this thing. So it could be,
I don't think I'd wait on any of this.
Yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't either. I mean, yeah. That's why I asked the question.
I talked to a guy, great quote, not specific to what those two items we've been talking about, but to the study. He said, if you do not now have a strategy for increasing your investment in digitizing your institution, you have put a for sale sign in your front yard. And I thought, that's true across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is, whatever we thought, banking was in the past, mm-hmm. it's not that anymore.
Yeah, right.
It went from being a thing that was morphing at a speed that kind of frightened us to something morphing at warp factor 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just changed that quick. So I think you have to be thinking now. And on our side, we have an operational excellence practice, and we have been engaged with a lot of people now.
Oh my gosh.
It takes a while, right? That's a tough decision. It goes through all the layers, right? I mean, CEO or the board, they've got to all be involved in that and should be. So it takes a while, but I think they're moving. And I think some of them are even starting to do, there's simple things you could do with automation,
sure.
but with very inexpensive AI. I don't know if you and I have ever talked about invoice auditing, but that's an area, they don't audit their invoices very much now because they're complex, et cetera. You could fix that for almost no money compared to what you'd find in terms of errors. So there are a little tactical areas that you can pick off low-hanging fruit. But the bigger picture, I think they're thinking about it. The good ones are the ones that haven't put, that aren't really just saying, we've got to let somebody else do this. We're going to sell ourselves. So,
Indeed. Yeah. Now's the time for sure. I could talk about this for another hour easily with you, Michael. This is fascinating stuff. But a last question for you, where can folks find this survey for more details? Because there's a lot in here so that we didn't have time to cover. So,
we have a book, an ebook that's in the printing stage. It's not printed, it's laid out, of course, but it's in the layouts. Nobody prints anything. It's in the layout stage. If you go to our website, there's a section called the SRM Academy.
Okay.
And within the SRM Academy is not only all of our content, but there's a special section called the Road to Recovery. And I would say by this time next week, the survey book that explains the implications and pulls in anecdotal and secondary research, that'll be there.
Oh, awesome.
For folks to download and read. Awesome. So give us about a week come out to the website and they'll be able to get more detail.
I'm going to be there too. I want to check that out as well. So count me
Appreciate
in.
That.
I'll be one.
All right.
All right, Michael, thank you so much I always enjoy talking to you because I learn so much, and it's fascinating stuff out there right now. Just really,
I'm just passing on what I learned. So it's not.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I enjoyed it, Michael, and have a good day. Keep well.
I will. I look forward to the next chat for sure.
Great.
Thanks, Michael.